Welcome to the M3 podcast. Your journey to movement, mindset, and medicine starts here.
Hello, M3 family. I am so happy to have you all for another episode of the M3 podcast. My sit down with Allison Campbell was all things competition prep, what it takes, the flexibility included, and also the discipline that she's learned and proven for herself. She dropped down to 6.9% body fat for the competition. And to see somebody completely dedicated to their craft, doing everything to a T, I'm very proud of her, not just success, but her progress along the way, recognizing that this isn't an end stop at the show day, but to continue on and be in the process of building her body after the show. We go through the post-show blues. We talk about what it takes to dedicate yourself to this process. And I can't wait for you all to listen in. Again, Allison is a huge inspiration and a great client of mine, and I'm so proud of her. So let's dive in.
Welcome back to another episode of the M3 podcast. It's me, your host, Mermaid Bree, and I have my friend, beautiful client, inspiration, former coworker in the house, Allison Campbell. I can think of Campbell soup too. Oh, that's it just popped up in my head from your show. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. This is amazing. I obviously look up to you as been an amazing friend and inspiration as well. So I'm excited to be here.
Girl, obviously we met several years ago, but we connected again and had that walk on the boardwalk. I remember when you reached out and you came to me and you said, I want to do a show. And I was like, oh, yes. A lot of people go to somebody and they find a source for a reason. I know the reason why you came to me, which I'm so honored for that, is your mental health. Mm-hmm. You said, I really want to push myself to as much of the limit that I know I'm capable of, but I also want to protect my mental health. And I have skepticisms on what is unhealthy, what is considered healthy when it comes to bodybuilding. And I want to push the extremities of being healthy in a competition. So Absolutely. We mapped it out. We went for a walk and sealed the deal, made it a commitment. Yeah,
which was wild to me because I went into that conversation not knowing. I knew that I wanted to do a show, I think. I was kind of feeling out the idea. I did know that if I did commit, I assumed I wanted you as my coach, but I really still had this like overarching unknowing of what I really wanted. And then as soon as we had that conversation, I was on board immediately and I was like, this feels right. This was the right choice. This is what I want to do. And she is the right person to do it with. It was definitely planned. I put a lot of thought into it, but I hadn't committed until we had that conversation. And then immediately was like, let's go.
And what made you decide? Obviously, you've seen people and be inspired by others on stage. I'm sure Olympia just happened when I think when we were talking too. So it's like we see all of these people. Who were your original inspirations? And then what made you decide that was it?
I had always thought about doing a show for probably about 10 years. I had it in the back of my mind. Started thinking about it sophomore year of college. And it was my friend, her mom had actually done a few shows. And she originally introduced me to the idea. I used to show me photos of her mom. We used to go work out together. She's still my best friend, but we lived together sophomore year. And so that's where I originally got the idea. But I don't really know. I guess it was the timing of everything. And then I just started seeing the Olympia and I just started seeing some of my friends from college also doing shows. I think throughout the years I've seen girls commit to it. And so it was just a collective series of events that led up to the moment I also had turned 30. I think I just finally was like, okay, it's now or never. It's time to jump in the deep end and
reach a new level.
Yeah. It's a combination of things, having it in the back of my head, but also seeing it all over social media and through friends and network. And then I've seen you do it.
And then what made you actually decide? So you're inspired. You obviously saw the attractiveness of it, right? It's very glittery, glitz and glam. I get it. I totally get it.
Totally.
The itch is always there.
It's such an itch.
And then once we get that competitor in us to actually shine and stand on stage, there's a hunger that comes with it too, which I want to talk about in a little bit. But again, that decision, you said, I'm going to do this. And that's such a big part that I keep wanting to bring up because people say, I have these fitness goals. I have these New Year's resolutions. I want to do 75 hard, right? I want to do all these different things. Let me sign up to a 30-day package of somewhere. how many people actually commit and stick to the thing because they made that decision? And I think there's something about the amount that you invest, whether it's into a coach, into a show, into yourself, especially, right? That you are putting all of these things in, and it does show confidence in you by making that commitment and following through with it. Also, there's a lot of confidence in somebody who stands up barely wearing any clothing in front of a lot of people to judge them on their exterior, having to have the integrity of their interior too. So obviously there was a lot that was built from that too, but what was that decision like?
I thought about doing this whole process. I knew that if I were to commit to it, I did want to maintain the integrity of keeping my mental health a priority, making sure my hormonal health was a priority, and not going to unhealthy extremes that would push me into a bad place mentally, physically, emotionally. Mm-hmm. Those were my concerns. And after speaking with you, knowing that you prioritize those things in your own life and with your clients, after speaking with you, I think that that was all I needed to hear. It's what I wanted to hear. So when I finally heard that, I knew that I would be in good hands, and that allowed me to feel safe enough to say yes to. Of course, that was like the decision moment, but obviously leading up to that, there was so much that went into the decision as well. And that was more so, I had turned 30 over summer, and I think I kept looking back at my life. Well, I was looking backward and forward and looking back like, oh my God, my 20s are over. That felt kind of huge, because then people say that's your chance to play around and explore new things. And of course, that never ends. But looking forward, I kept thinking, okay, I'm going into my 30s. It's a whole new decade. With that could come family, marriage, engagement. There's a lot of things that could be in my future in my 30s. I'm potentially in the near future, right? And so what do I want to do in the next 1, 3, 5 years that prioritizes myself? And what can I do for me while I still have the time to be able to do it? And it's not that you can't do things like a competition after you get engaged and married and have kids and all of that. You can, absolutely. But it would be a little bit easier without those responsibilities. I had the time right now. So there was a lot of self-reflection of moving forward, what I wanted my 30s to look like, what I wanted to do for myself. And I knew that there was never going to necessarily be a perfect time. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be excuses. There's always going to be things that come up. I had the holidays to think about and things like that. That was going to be over the course of my prep. But again, there's always going to be excuses. And at some point, you just have to commit to it and say, I'm going to work around those excuses, right?
Yeah. Huge. There's three things that I always say for someone if they're thinking about competing. You need to have these three factors. And it's really nice to see that you actually had that when I saw you make this decision. Mm-hmm. Number one was, I want people to have the financial opportunity to go in and do the thing, whatever it is. It's not cheap to compete. Yeah, and there's ways around it. There's opportunities. But when I was in college working 3 jobs, I still wanted this to figure out what it is to make it work. Yeah. I still see you busting out your ass and you're working 2 jobs. You do everything that you can and you make it work. The next thing is the support of the relationships that are around you. What is the environment that you're in? Are you able to thrive in that environment? And so the flower got to blossom because she has an amazing boyfriend, a huge family support system, and I think also a great work environment where you were working out with your teammate, who's another coworker at Rebel, that yes, you two were able to bounce off of each other, get that hype, get the inspiration. And I think that's key for when you're doing something like this. It makes you not feel as alone in the process. 100%. And then the last factor I say is the mental confidence that this is going to not just be a physical transformation, but a mental grit and will transformation.
1,000%.
Yes, your discipline goes up, the amount of, again, decision-making clarity, right, that you have for yourself. You're going to be like yes to no to things. You're going to have boundaries for things. You're going to have more self-respect. You're going to have more self-care and love, and that's going to build your mental muscle. And that to me is the last and most important factor of all three. If you don't have the mental, I don't care about the financial or the relationships. You got to take care of yourself first.
Yeah. I remember this entire conversation on the beach when we first met.
Good. When it came down to thinking about this and getting into it and like, okay, I made the decision now. Was there anything that maybe you got fear from or were you afraid of? Were you nervous?
Piggybacking off that third point, there was a part of me that feared, as most women can and do, unfortunately, we can fall into that self-criticism or like self-judgment or just like comparison mode. And I was afraid of maybe where this whole experience would push me, like how far would it push me into that direction and how would I be able to handle it and handle myself. So there was a little bit of fear there. I wasn't necessarily afraid of the process. I wasn't afraid of what people would think about me. I knew I had that support system in place. I knew my boyfriend would probably have some questions, but support me nonetheless. My friends are amazing. They would also support me in whatever I did. So I knew I had those things in place. That third point is something that I knew I could handle because I have put so much effort into giving myself and just consciousness of giving myself grace in a lot of situations and being easy on myself. And I've practiced that over the years. Mm-hmm. So although I had this small fear of like, I hope I don't get too hard on myself, you know, I knew that I was also equipped to be able to handle it just based off what I've been practicing for so long.
Agreed.
Mentally.
The identity also too, of I feel like a lot of people have this fear of judgment, and that's exactly what it is.
Really, like everybody does to some extent, right?
Yes.
We can fall into that comparison trap, unfortunately.
And I even remember a situation, not to call anybody out because I'm like, Sean, God bless his heart. He's so sweet and did all the right things. I'm like, bravo, boyfriend, bravo.
Yeah.
And I remember people were asking him questions about it, and he was kindly dancing around the topic. Yeah. And I could feel you just saying, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Just let people know this is what I'm doing and this is who I am. I'm claiming the identity of that.
You're absolutely right. I didn't care what anybody thought about me. My friends or his friends or our network or anybody at the gym that I worked at. I didn't care about that. Again, I was a little bit more afraid of how I thought about myself and how that was going to evolve. But yeah, he did get asked, what is Allison doing? What is this all about? Or somehow it just come up in casual conversation with his clients during work. And he didn't really know how to explain it and say, and I'm like, just say she's doing a bikini competition. Like it is what it is. It's something that I'm passionate about. And I'm excited about. And so you should be too. And if people don't understand it, that's okay. I'm okay with being misunderstood. If I'm okay being misunderstood, then you should definitely be okay with it because it's not a reflection of your choices. It's definitely my choices. Of course, we are together, but still, it took him just a minute to wrap his head around that and then just say, you're totally right. People may not get it right away. I don't need to dance around it. I'm just going to say what it is. And if they have questions, great. And if they have opinions, that's fine too.
I think that goes for any supportive partner in this world because if you have a dream, that's your dream. That's your vision. That's your clarity.
Yeah.
But your supportive partner does not see what you see in your head, the painted picture. So they're going to ask the questions. They're going to try and figure out how can I best support and still not understand always fully.
Yeah. They don't have to like fully understand it, but they can support your dreams. That's everything.
Was there anything about actually stepping on stage that made you nervous?
Of course, there was things that made me nervous about stepping on stage. You know, don't trip and fall is one. I think I wasn't as prepared as I would have liked to have been, maybe with my posing. Mm-hmm. Lesson learned. Just put a little bit more effort on my own time with practicing. But I was so excited to be there. And I knew I'd worked really hard to get to that point. So I wasn't super fearful of the audience or the judges or anybody's opinion just because I was so proud of myself for how far I'd gotten there. I just didn't want to trip and fall. That's like what I was the dumbest part of it. I was in a thong bikini. You'd think I'd be worried about what people were thinking about my body, but that was actually the last thing on my mind. It was don't trip and fall and hit your poses.
I just have to bring this up because this made me think of our very first posing session where you saw the bikini and you go, is this it?
Oh, God. I thought I couldn't even get my finger into it. I was like, it's crazy how your body can change, especially so quickly, to fit into that thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to circle back again to you had mentioned, I didn't care about what other people thought of me, but you said, I care what I think of myself and how that might change. How did it change? Obviously, it did.
Absolutely.
How did you think of yourself when you first started?
A lot of the reasons that we started to begin with was because I wanted to prove myself that I had the discipline to commit to something. If we want to go a little like deeper into the reasons why I committed, was my greatest fear is not living a fulfilled life. And with that, some of my greatest fears is falling into complacency and comfortability and staying in that place and not stepping out of my comfort zone to do hard things to live a fulfilling life. right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to stay in the same place my entire life, year after year. And so mm-hmm. I felt myself in that place, and I wanted to prove to myself that I could take actionable steps to change my direction and commit to something and see it all the way through. Because I can't tell you how many times, if we're just talking health and fitness, I've wanted to start a program, or I've taken that before photo and never taken the after photo. And it's not like there's ever an end date in the health and fitness journey, mm-hmm. but I never felt worthy enough to take an after photo. You know, you see those all the time online as the before and the afters. And I never committed to something to where I could take an after photo, which is crazy to think about. So there was that fear in me that was like, are you ever going to see it through, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that is something I really wanted to prove to myself, that I could commit to it, I could see it through, and I could build better habits and be the person that I wanted to be.
So then how did you see yourself after you stepped on stage?
Yes. So
you were so proud of yourself. I love you.
It was just so crazy because you feel uncomfortable at first through the process. It's super foreign. I had never done some of the exercises you had given me. Mm-hmm. I've been in fitness my whole life, but there were some things that I just never tried in the gym, right? And so you go into a gym and you're a little uncomfortable and you don't know what you're doing. I've set up equipment wrong. I've done all the things that people are afraid to do.
You didn't even know if you could do a chin-up, and you did three right away.
Two and a half.
Okay.
Yep. No, I don't think I really tried to body weight. You know, I'd always had been like supported with a band or something, an assisted chin-up. But continuing to show up and do the things, you start to prove to yourself that I am who I say I am, mm-hmm. right? So I kept telling myself, you have to show up as her before you become her. And I just kept thinking that, because you just had to keep showing up, because then one day you're going to have all of this stack of proof, essentially, for yourself, telling you that you are who you say you are. And I kept thinking, I'm a competitor. I can do this. I'm just as worthy to be on stage as anybody else. If they can do it, I can do it. If not better, I just had to keep doing the things that proved it to myself. Because you don't know right away. You don't know if you can do something when you're first trying it. So you have to keep trying it. You have to keep doing all those things until you prove to yourself that you can.
And how do you think of yourself today?
I think of myself a whole different person, to be honest. I'm still Allison. I still have a lot of the same characteristics, but a new sense of self-worth and confidence, I would say, because I accomplished something that I set out to do. My habits have gotten better. I still carry with me a lot of the things that I learned within prep, and I definitely have more confidence than I had before. Absolutely.
Can we talk about the process? Mm-hmm. It was, I think, 10 weeks for you, right? 14 really 14. In total, really. Yeah. But I was like, the first 4 weeks you didn't have a suit by, so I was like, I don't really count
as we're not hiking. I did a whole backpacking trip. Yeah.
Let's talk about the process, what all you had to do, the boxes you needed to check off, and then the breakdown of what it looked like to achieve the small goals throughout the week.
Small goals were everything. Mm-hmm. Every day I had to track everything I put in my mouth. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was tracking the vitamin gummies that I was eating that were 20 calories. So I was tracking everything. I was, for the most part, doing 2 workouts a day. In the beginning, you know, I was lifting 5 times a week. And of course, our cardio started off, I think, about 4 times a week. And we ramped up to 5 or 6 days a week. But for a lot of the prep, it was 2 workouts a day, tracking food, getting good sleep. I was doing weekly check-ins. So every Sunday doing a check-in, every Sunday doing photos, a couple times a week I was weighing myself. There was a lot that I just needed to make sure that I was getting done.
I wanted to do hydrated. Yes.
Yeah, hydrated, meal prepping to some extent. I actually didn't do a ton of that, what you would think would be the traditional way of meal prepping. But
yeah,
there was a lot of things that I needed to make sure I was on top of, and time management was everything. And just breaking it down into the day-by-day activities, not getting overwhelmed with the big picture. Oh my gosh, I'm stepping on stage in 5 weeks, right? It was just like, I have to work out today. I have this workout. I already know what time I'm going to do it because I plan my week out in advance, and I have to stick to it, because if I don't, I can't push it into the next day because I have that workout that next day, right? So it was like, when it was on the calendar, I had to do it. If it was in the app, I had to log it. It was just those small steps I did on the daily that added up to the big picture of stepping on stage.
It was great watching your calendar because I could see it was scheduled before work, at lunch, mm-hmm. right after, any break you had, between meetings, between class sessions. If you could take a class and still count that, anything that you could do to make it work, you figured out a way to make it work.
Yeah, it was like a puzzle piece, essentially. And that was so cool. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I have taken from the whole experience is better time management and committing to what's on my calendar. Before, I wouldn't know what workout I was doing that day or the next day. I would just wake up and decide what class I was going to take, and there was no real plan. And I think going through this whole process really taught me how important it is to have a plan and to follow those steps.
There's a difference between working out and training.
100%. Yeah.
So how did your exercise change from this process?
A whole makeover, which I've been in fitness my whole life. I played sports growing up, many sports, but again, I never had a plan. Before, like I said, I would wake up and decide if I wanted to do a HIIT class or a Pilates class or yoga class. And sometimes that's good to listen to your body and what it wants, but I was doing that almost every day. And I was staying active, but I wasn't necessarily seeing progress. And going through prep, there was so much structure, right? You're doing the same 5 days a week, same exercises within each day for 6 to 8 weeks. And it's just rinse and repeat. And that is really where I saw changes, was because then you implement progressive overload and you're adding in the weight. And then it becomes a game because now you can see what weight you did last week. And you're like, I could probably go heavier for at least one set, right? Something like that. So tracking it, having that plan, those are all things that I just didn't have before and made the world of a difference.
And I know structure. I'm skipping ahead right here, but you had that program during prep. Your program isn't too far off now post-prep in a building season.
Right.
And I actually had you taper off just one day a week for the time being, just to get your body to acclimate to this new lifestyle of, hey, we don't need to grind every single day. Let's just give ourselves some grace, have 4 days instead of five. But the workouts pretty much are still similar. And I feel like anybody who's looking to build mass or drop body fat, it's a very similar concept for the exercise part of it.
Absolutely. Either way, you're wanting to build muscle. Yes. You know? So body like recomposition, either way, you're wanting to build or at least maintain your muscle mass. The workouts don't necessarily look different. It's kind of where you plug in the cardio and the nutrition is really where you start to cater towards certain goals.
So then how did your nutrition change and how did the cardio change?
Nutrition has, well, I didn't do the best job right after my show.
Well, let's talk about prep process.
Okay.
Because you did like
eight plus job. How did it change?
Yes, okay, gotcha. From prep. What did it look like for you as you were scaling down your timeline?
A lot had changed from before prep going into and then going.
Yeah, what was your awareness like before?
Before, I would say ate generally healthy, which is what most people are probably going to tell you too, is I eat generally healthy. I like to go out and eat here and there. But I would make good choices and I would cook at home a lot and I would cook lean meats or, you know, I would have my salmon or my chicken or my red meat. Usually, let's just call it like sweet potatoes and vegetables, right? And that was like a standard dinner. But I would always have a glass of wine while I was cooking. And I had no idea of what my portions were. I wasn't aware of how many calories were on my plate. I was making healthier choices, I would say, ingredient-wise, but I didn't have necessarily like full awareness or the education that I have now. I would go out to eat whenever I wanted, whenever I was craving it, really. And then going into prep, I was obviously starting to track everything and I was starting to just become more aware of what macros are in certain foods. Now I can look at a half a banana and probably get within like 0.2 of how many ounces are in that banana and how many carbs are in those ounces. So anyway, I've learned a lot since then, but there's been a lot more structure, more portion control, more consistency, less eating out, essentially. So,
and then what about cardio?
Cardio, we ramped up throughout 14 weeks. We started off at, I think, four times a week, probably 20 to 30 minutes. And it got down to, I think at the most, I was doing around 50 or 55 minutes. Mm-hmm. We didn't hit the 60-minute mark.
No, but I did make you do 2 cardio sessions in the weekend, 2 days in a row.
So by the end, it was 5 days a week, I believe, around 50 minutes on top of my strength training. And yeah, the week before my show, we had to double up.
On water? Double up on water and cardio.
Double up on water. I don't even know how I put that much water in my body. Somehow that water got in, most of it. But yeah, and then cardio, it was wild how much I did, but I just, again, it was on the schedule, it was on the calendar, and I just got it done.
But then I'm also thinking in my head, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I've spent an hour on the elliptical or on the treadmill or on the Stairmaster, like thinking, well, maybe not the Stairmaster before prep. It did happen during prep, but like beforehand, I would be like, gosh, like this is my workout. Like this is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to just run on the treadmill for an hour and see if I can get 4 or 5 or 6 miles, right? And do that. And that was it for the workout. But what are we doing? Making ourselves hungrier, not really building any muscle or getting that lean tissue. And what blew my mind, just before we get into talking about other changes, but what blew my mind was seeing the actual change in you. And just for anybody who already sees Allison right now or is listening, like you already have an amazing physique to begin with, or did at that time, still now to this day. But you're very lean. You had, I think, a body fat percentage of like 14.8%. It was like,
I think that's where I started. Yeah.
Yeah. And you dropped down to a mind blowing 6.9% body fat. I've never seen that from any other client. And I've had people lose hundreds of pounds. I've literally had multiple clients lose over 100 pounds. I've had a client lose 40 pounds in 4 months doing the same plan, right?
Yeah.
And yes, maybe they had a little bit more to lose in order to make it an easier process at the beginning or that stage. But what blew my mind is most people in this world who are wanting to get to those last 5 to 10 pounds don't actually get there, and you surpassed it and you built muscle at the same time.
That was the mind-blowing part is, for one, I didn't think I could ever get to that low of a body fat percentage.
Me either. Wow.
And yeah, but at the same time, I had built muscle throughout that entire prep process. And I don't even think at my last measurement, I had even lost any, or it was maybe a marginal degree of that lean mass. But I basically built and then maintained that muscle tissue while I dropped to such a low body fat percentage in such a short amount of time. It's mind-blowing what the body can do when you really just get it down to the science. And I think that's so fascinating, is like really just there's a science to it. There's numbers to it. Of course, there's going to be factors that play a part with every person, and everybody's going to have a different experience with the same program or numbers. But it's crazy what our bodies are capable of doing.
You said the science of it, and that is where the nutrition, the cardio, the strength training, all of that comes into play. But then there also has to be the mental will. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that is the hardest scientific factor, we'll call it, right?
The psychology of it.
Yeah. Exactly.
It was tough.
So what about your habits? How did those habits change?
Throughout prep.
Mm-hmm. So you obviously said you wake up, you would pick whatever class you wanted to take. You would eat generally healthy. You now all of a sudden are like, if it's in the schedule, it's getting done.
Yeah. So that definitely, going back to that, was time management. Became a whole lot better. I was so much more productive just in my personal life, professional life, and then, of course, getting everything done that I needed to with prep. So time management significantly improved. I really changed my relationship with alcohol, which is a big one for me, because I cut it out. And I would always have my casual glass of wine while cooking dinner, and I loved it. And it was so mindless when I used to just have that glass. And I still enjoy one now, but I definitely don't reach for it the way I used to. And I thought that was big, and that I don't crave it like I used to. It's something that I just don't need again as much as I used to. So that was big. My relationship with alcohol did change, I would say. Sleep, I was big. I made sure I got in bed at a decent time and a consistent time. And I was also waking up, which was wild. I think my alarm was generally around 6. And it got to a point where I was waking up on my own without my alarm, just before my alarm every day. It was like my circadian rhythm must have been on point, just because everything else was so consistent and so structured that sleep just became a part of it. So that was really cool, because in the past before prep, I would have my alarm and I would wake up groggy and it's kind of a slow roll out of bed. I was so oddly waking up with so much energy without an alarm, which was wild. So I don't know if that's like a byproduct or a habit, but either way, my sleep improved.
I feel like hormonally too, again, also coming with the activity, you had so much output at the end of the day. And I know you also got to a point, like, I know, telling you what to eat and do, but it was like, you got to a point where you were burning more than you were literally putting in your body in that day, that you got to a point at the end of the day that you just wanted to hit the bed or hit the pillow, right? And you were like, all right, time out. I'm done. I'm done for the day. And so I think telling yourself, anybody who's struggling to get up early in the morning, just go to bed earlier. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that you were telling yourself is, yeah, you got in the habit of going to bed earlier, which got you in the habit of getting up earlier. And you were most surprised by the morning time.
I was, yeah. It was so bizarre, but it was just a consistent sleep schedule. And the phone goes off. My boyfriend goes to sleep much later than I do. And he even got in the habit, our bathroom's in our bedroom. And so he would make sure to brush his teeth super early, knowing I was going to go to sleep early. So he didn't disrupt me. And then he would come in later. So even he got in a little bit of a routine with me to make sure that my sleep was not disrupted. So that was awesome.
Shout out to all the supportive boyfriends in this world.
Right. It affects his life too, prep.
Yeah. Absolutely. We didn't even have that as a pre-discussion, but that's something I would love to talk about too. I've had clients talk to me about their relationship with alcohol and how much that has changed. I've had clients talk to me about how much their relationships have changed. Mm-hmm. I've had clients almost get into a divorce and then somehow come back together, which is amazing. There's so many different changes that have happened from people's personal lives by doing something that is either career driven or personally driven, right? Yeah. And that is a huge thing of your relationship also probably changed. Because I remember, and again, God bless Sean's heart, the day of the show, he was like, our relationship went to a whole new level starting Friday.
So here's the thing. We moved in a week before I had the conversation with
him. Oh my goodness, so that's amazing.
I moved in with him and was basically a week later like, hey, I'm going to do a show. And he was like, what does that mean?
Hey, I'm going to go crazy.
Right. Yeah. I was like, I'm probably going to get hungry and I'm probably going to be emotional because I'm emotional as it is, right? I'm a Cancer, if that means anything. So he was like, okay. And I kind of was like, it's what you're going to do. It's what you're going to do. And I was like, well, I've already made the decision. Like, you know, I asked, maybe not ask for permission, ask for forgiveness. So a week after we moved in together, I said I was going to do prep. And of course, when I'm so focused on measuring my food and eating a certain way, it's going to affect him, right? Because normally we would cook together and there was times where we had separate dinners and there were times we went out to the movie theater. I mean, we had our challenges. We had a couple arguments through it. And
it's normal.
Like, yeah, we went out to the movie theater and I remember I was a little hungry and a little cranky and he ordered an old fashioned and a burger and french fries and I think popcorn too. And I was sitting there next to him at the movie theater just so angry.
And that has nothing to do with him and everything to do with
right?
me.
Right. I mean, no, by all means, he had every right to order all of that. You know, I'm not going to hold him back from what he wanted to eat.
But the temptation was there.
I had probably said, like, go ahead. Yeah, it's fine. You know? And then I was sitting there just.
It's not fine.
Yeah. So we had our challenges. We had some emotional moments as well. And I would say we actually did probably come out stronger and better. And I will say this, and this has really nothing to do with prep in general, but, and I'm sure he's okay with me saying this, like I'm such an advocate for therapy in general.
Yes.
I think it's amazing for individuals or even couples to go through therapy, even as a preventative measure, even just to help improve communication skills. Things don't have to be wrong for a therapist to be able to come in and help support just how your relationship grows. And so that is something that we also started right when we moved in together. So I don't know if I ever told you that, but
I had no idea. And I'm so, again, proud of you.
Yeah. Wow. So it's something we talked about when we started dating. That was a year prior. And I'd always said I would love to do couples therapy because I just think it's so important. There's always things that people can work on personally, especially, but also just like in their relationships. And sometimes having that third party there just helps open up the conversations or see things differently, right? Because you're each going to have your own lens and your own scope. So again, we moved in together. Oh my gosh, that's a lot to think about. I started prep we started therapy. Yeah. And we also went through some tough times with his family as well, where we had to travel during prep. So there was a lot that I was dealing with as well, just
outside of the scope of just you.
Myself, yeah, mm-hmm. in prep. So
how did your confidence change in that as well for this? Because I see that your relationship got stronger, your obviously physique got stronger, mm-hmm. your mental will and your habits got stronger. So then obviously the thoughts of how you perceive yourself hopefully got stronger.
Absolutely. I think that I proved to myself that I'm capable of doing the hard things physically, emotionally, having the hard conversations. But I would say even just coming out of prep and looking at how I want 2024 to look, I have so much more motivation mm-hmm. now after the fact. You might have that initial excitement, like, oh, I'm going to do a show and I'm going to do prep. And you have that initial motivation, but like that will die quick when it gets hard or you have a tough day, right? Like motivation is not going to carry you through and stay high the whole time. Mm-hmm. So it's funny because people think it starts that way, but I really feel like that was the byproduct motivation now coming out of prep where I'm like, I want to do more because I know that I can do things that feel uncomfortable. I can go on a podcast, but I've never gone on one. I can start a business or do what I want to do, right? Yeah. So I do think it did teach me what I'm capable of mm-hmm. when I put my mind to it. Absolutely.
I think of the analogy with a car, and a car has spark plugs to get the car started. But mm-hmm. obviously, you can start the car, it still needs gasoline. So you can have the motivation, but you still need the drive and the grit and the consistency yeah. and the practice to put in the reps, literally awesome. Put in the reps on this one too. And the last thing here is, do you believe that your mental health changed? You said that you see yourself obviously more motivated now, more capable. Were you in a place where, and I don't think you were at all, but you were concerned or even aware of it to begin with, is I don't want my mental health to be compromised. And I don't believe it did, but there is obviously points where, and I even know most people get post-show blues.
Yeah.
But I know that there's a lot of waves that happen. And so for you handling the emotional waves, did anything mm-hmm. change for your mental health?
Yeah, I would say things change and it went in waves. And I would say I did learn about the post-show blues a little mm-hmm. bit. I think overall, I came out with a very positive experience. And I think my mental health stayed high and I was in it for the right reasons and mm-hmm. I was focusing on the right things. So I feel like that was huge. And again, there's so much positive that's come out of this experience propelling me forward. There were moments where I was like, man, that consumed my last 3 months. And it was like my identity for a little bit. And so when you come out of it, you have to realize you are more than just a show. You are more than just competition. Cause there was a moment where I was like, now what? Like, that's kind of just who I was the last couple mm-hmm. months, right? And so you just have to remind yourself, and I did, that you are more than just one thing, one hobby, one show. So even though I had those moments where I was a little down on myself of like, okay, what next? I still can reflect back on that and take that and learn something from those feelings. And it's positive. And it's the fact that I realized I'm more than just a show.
I feel that as well. And it's a weird conversation to even bring up too, is I'm taking a step away from one-to-one coaching. Mm-hmm. And I've had that identity for so long, is I'm a coach, I do this. And even parts of me are like, how can I still help? I still want to be that person. And I keep telling myself to set the boundaries. You can hear the voice inside saying, it's not for you. You can refer out, you can refer out. And it's such a weird thing because that is a general innate thing. The itch is still there for me as well, just like you, of competing. Competing is a nice, beautiful thing that we can have control over.
Yeah.
Just like our identity, just like our jobs, just like our relationships, we can have as much as we can, right? But it's like we can have a certain amount of control over it and what we put into it, our control into it. And I feel like there's that shift of, hey, I'm more than just a show, or I'm more than just a coach, or I'm more than a competitor. It's like you coming back to the self-discovery of like, who's Allison? Who's Bree? Mm-hmm. Right?
We're allowed to be multiple things. We're allowed to have multiple interests and pursue different things professionally, personally, and we don't have to be put in a box and defined by one thing. You're not just a one-on-one coach. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was only just focusing on competing, and I've only done one show, but still, I had to tell myself, you're not just a competitor, and I don't need to look that certain way all the time. And I can still go off and do other things that I'm interested in. And people are going to support me in whatever my next venture is, whether it's a show or something else. The people that are truly there for me are going to support me no matter what I'm doing.
I mean, the show did bring a lot of highlights too. And I'm sure there was fun moments to it. I remember you kept saying for the longest time, it's not that hard. It's not that hard. And then I stopped hearing that from you.
Well, you're right. I did. I for a long time, because it aligned with who I wanted to be, you know, and that's why I felt so, it was hard work, but I enjoyed the hard work.
Also, it aligned with the lifestyle, hopefully, still that you wanted to live,
yeah,
which exactly. was going on those long hikes. Like you hiked Havasupai, which is a 26-mile hike round trip, yeah. probably within hiking in there too. You did 40 miles.
Like over 45 miles
yeah.
in a couple of days.
Yeah. Yes.
Which I've never done anything like that before.
And I basically just told you, just eat.
Yeah, just eat. I just ate.
Yes. And your body still responded very well.
Yeah.
Then afterwards, I was like, okay, here comes the real push. We need to put you into the real push. So there's tons of highlights. There's tons of fun parts to it too. Was there anything that stood out that was like, this is my favorite part of prep?
It was definitely the strength training, the lifting was, yeah. I never pushed myself the way I pushed myself in this program. So like lifting as heavy as I possibly could, close to failure. I never tried to reach for those ceilings. So I didn't really know where my ceiling was in regards to my strength. I'd always been doing my own workouts or HIIT classes or things like that. And that's a little bit more endurance, but I had never pushed myself to lift as heavy as I had during prep. And I thought that was so cool. And it was hard work, but it was definitely my favorite part. And tracking it too, being able to look back and say, what did I do last week? Like, how am I feeling this week? Like, and just to see how it evolves week after week was awesome. I think the weightlifting, yeah, was my favorite.
Then obviously, I'm just thinking, hello, we're women here. There's obviously challenging parts to it because we have cycles and symptoms, like PMS symptoms, right? Yeah. And so I know that having a deload week or having a week of just accomplishing the tasks and not trying to go all out, that it's very real. Men don't understand it.
Yeah.
They don't get it. The emotions are real.
Touched on that, yeah.
Yeah. The fatigue is real. The strength, needing that extra hour of sleep. And I'm that person that says, if you're a lifestyle client or if it's somebody who's just training for life and your body is telling you to get the extra hour of sleep versus training that day, I'm all for it. Mm-hmm. If you're in competition prep and you know that's coming because the whole point of competition prep is to prepare for the situations,
yeah.
is to tell yourself, go to bed that hour earlier, get the sleep that you need, and then just don't go as hard that day
yeah.
that you go to train.
There was definitely moments where I was not feeling it or I was PMSing or I just had traveled and I got back from traveling. There's definitely moments where it was tough, but I still showed up anyway and you just get it done and just give yourself grace. Not every time you do a hip thrust is going to be your heaviest hip. You're not going to PR every single time.
Exactly.
And eventually, especially if you're going through something like prep, as your food is going down and your cardio is going up, you are going to lose some strength. And so I actually feel like I maintained it pretty well.
I was just
well.
About to say, I felt like you
really
kept getting stronger.
I actually felt like I was getting stronger for most of prep. It was just maybe the last two weeks
yeah.
where I was feeling the fatigue now. But yeah, there was definitely moments where I was on my period and you can still strength train when you're on your period. You just may not go as heavy. It's not to say that you can't do it.
And the only times that I think you've either A, told me like, hey, I grabbed a snack on the plane or like, hey, can I have these extra calories? I'm asking for permission for these extra calories.
Yeah, I needed that pancake.
Yes. Both of those times have been when you were PMSing.
Yeah.
And it was right before the show, like another 2 weeks out before the show. And then same thing with the plane flight back home. You were like, I just needed these 90 calories. And it's crazy yeah. to think this. I know you've sent me many podcasts that I love listening to, mm-hmm. getting my own learning experience with, I think it's Bikini in the Brain was one of them.
Yeah.
And so
that's a great one.
When he talks about like, it's okay to have those extra couple hundred calories, the body is going to process and utilize them for that purpose. We are going through something physically and we need to have the physical energy in return to exchange for that output. I love that you listen to your body. You're so intuitive. That to me shows also another level of confidence as well.
Yeah. It takes, I would say, some practice to understand when to call it, if that makes sense, and when it's push through time.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely takes a little bit of practice, but the more you're just in tune and listening to your body and the more experience you have working out, the more you're going to know, okay, I can push through this. This is mental or physically, no, I need to take a break and I need more food or whatever it is.
Let's talk about the not so fun parts of prep. What do you feel were the most challenging parts? Internal and external factors.
Internally, mentally, I think one of the hardest things was always thinking about food. And so you gave me so much flexibility with my diet. So with that being said, I could eat what I wanted, when I wanted, as long as it was tracked and as long as it fit my macros for the day. And not all competitors have that experience or have those coaches that will give them that flexibility. Sometimes they're told what to eat and when to eat, right? So I had a lot of flexibility, but there were moments where I obviously wanted bigger portions, or I wanted to go back for more, or if I was away from my house, if I had to go run errands, I was worried because I didn't want to lean on things like protein bars. I wanted to eat whole foods and cook at home. And so if I was away from my home for too long, knowing I was starting to get hungry, I didn't want to rely on throwing in a bunch of protein bars in my mouth. So I was like, I had to be close by my kitchen to feel comfortable because I knew I had control of the turkey that I could pull out or the shredded chicken that I had. So it's always in the back of your mind. I think that was tough, but again, you just have to have discipline. And I had food that I enjoyed, and it's not like I was deprived of flavor or anything like that. It's just, it was always on my mind.
I was just a guest on another person's podcast, and they are very regimented to the T. Everything is meal planned. They do tell you what to eat, when to eat. And they had mentioned, I don't believe in flexible dieting. And I go, really? Because you just met my client who just dropped down to 6.9% body fat. And listen. And he goes, well, most people don't have that type of self-control. And I said, we're talking about flexibility here. I'm talking about pulling that rubber band, and they're not free flying the rubber band out to go eat in and out every other day. Yeah. You understand what you're pulling yourself. You're staying within the limits. You're not reaching for processed food, which you just said.
Right.
More people need to recognize that if you're doing an if it fits your macros diet, or if you're doing some sort of flexible dieting, you cannot replace real foods with processed foods like protein shakes and protein bars all days. Yeah. It doesn't work.
It's like protein chips now. Yeah. It's not your best choice.
No.
And you learn that very quickly in prep too, because I realized if I wanted to have the In-N-Out burger, I couldn't make it in my macros, but I am screwing myself for later in the evening when I'm hungry because I ate all my calories and fats at 12 p.m. So you learn very quickly how to budget and what foods are going to be the best bang for your buck, if that's the best way to put it.
I'm even thinking like the protein bar in itself. That's like, let's say 220 calories for a protein bar. There's so much more volume I could have from real food.
100%. I started pulling away just for that reason. I love them now. They taste like dessert to me. It got to a point when I was later in prep where you have to start making the really smart choices. And like 220 calories could be a small meal or a protein bar that I almost don't feel like I ate anything.
I inhaled it.
It's 20 grams of protein. So, but it's, yeah, you inhale it so quickly and it's just still processed. So I would get my chocolate fix in that way sometimes.
Yeah.
But it really taught me how to make better choices, even with the flexibility of if it fits your macros style.
Were there any other challenges aside from the food part?
Of course, committing to the cardio, keeping my heart rate high enough during the cardio. That was like our goal from me and my body. We felt like we could push myself a little bit higher. Essentially, like we were thinking my max heart rate is probably a little bit higher.
Well, side note on that is I know this to be true. As you're not eating as much food, obviously your blood sugar doesn't go up as high. So to get your heart rate higher, it takes a lot more effort and a lot more work. And towards the end of prep, your heart rate naturally starts to decrease and doesn't want to go up as high. You're just not getting the blood sugar and the nutrients from carbohydrates or however the calories come in. And so if you are pushing yourself, there's a difference between like, oh yay, 20, 30 minutes is not that hard,
yeah,
right?
No,
versus like really pushing yourself.
For it. Yeah,
yeah.
For 50 minutes, 5 days a week. And then that got tough. I found ways around it. I bought a little water bottle that had a MagSafe on it so my iPhone could sit on it and I could watch a show while on the stair step or on the elliptical. And I found ways to keep myself busy and get through it. But it takes a lot of discipline and a lot of hard work. And I can't say it wasn't tough because it was absolutely tough the whole time. But for the most part, it's how I wanted to be living anyway. And it's the discipline I wanted to see in myself. So since it aligned with who I wanted to be, it felt great for a long time. It felt easy. And then, you know, at the end of it, of course, it's down to crunch time. But
What kind of conversations did you have with yourself? Because I know being on that Stairmaster treadmill or whatever it is, mm-hmm. I would have a whole yeah. conversation with myself. Like, we have 5 more minutes. We can do this. Pull it together, girl. You know?
It is true. My God. And I do it with rest, too. If I'm struggling, I'm like, you can do 3 more. Like, I yes. know you can. A lot of conversations with yourself. Absolutely. To be honest, and this may be an ego thing, I will say that I put a lot of this out on social media throughout my journey. And for me, this might not work for everybody. That holds me accountable when I put it out there. And I don't want to look like somebody that half-assed it or is a quitter. If I'm going to do something, commit to it and put it out there, I want to show that I'm going all in and be an inspiration for other people and lead by example. A lot of my conversations with myself was revolved around that too. You've got to see this through. You have accountability partners, you have a coach. It's like,
she's watching all your stories.
I'm doing it all for me, you know, but introducing other people into my journey did help me stay accountable. And I just kept thinking, you can do it. You got to do it. You're almost there, right? All those things to keep going.
That's a lot of why people do post on social media. If no one's mm-hmm. watching, they're thinking, okay, I can kind of yeah. get away with this. I can sneak yeah. out from it. But I even have a friend who's been doing pushups, like 150 pushups a day for 22 days straight since the start of the year. And so I was at the start of the show, but I was like, start of the year. So it's like they have the accountability of another friend. And then I think of like even pen pals, you can hold a challenge or you can have an accountability partner across the world. Mm-hmm. And the two of you could be doing that same thing, show up on social, because that's the way I can connect with them. So there's all the different yeah. threads of there's people who want to participate, but then there's also people who just want to view and get inspired and mm-hmm. see that, just like you and I have watched other people's journeys oh, and get inspired.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I've been in both shoes. I just knew for myself, if I was going to show my entire journey and show my progress photos, there wasn't going to be a chance I didn't show the end product. So like, you know, it's I knew I was going to put it out there. Wherever I was on show day, I was going to put it out there anyway. And so that kept me accountable because I knew I wanted to show it off.
I love you. Yes.
And it sounds a bit like egotistical, but it's true. It helped.
You deserve it.
It kept me accountable.
Yeah. So obviously there's the challenges of the roads of bumps. The people that have these excuses or things that they're saying like, oh, this is really hard, so I'm not going to do this. Mm-hmm. I also feel like people will tell me constantly, and you've probably heard this too, like when you're coaching classes, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that exercise. I'm not going to do that thing.
Oh, yeah.
And you kind of asked me to like, so I can do these other things and it counts the same as this, meaning I could go for a walk and it counts the same as a run. And I'm like, yes, you can, but you need to figure out how the calories and everything, the yeah, energy match up.
Strategic.
Yes. Absolutely. So I know that the rest program that you're going to do is the one that you stick to. And so like, if you're going to stick to it, how are you going to do the things that you like? Because you and I, there's no way that we would go on a prep that we didn't like the food we were eating. We felt miserable being told what to do yeah. the whole time. We had to do that exact exercise, that exact workout. And there were certain things where obviously like you were traveling a lot and you had mentioned the equipment had to change sometimes oh, yeah. for you too. So we are here to make it adaptable, obviously.
That was a big block for sure.
Yeah.
I was a little emotional. Side note. Yeah. When I was traveling and I was not at my normal gym in my comfort zone, I didn't know where any of the equipment was. I think I almost started crying because I just couldn't find what I needed to set up. I think it was hip thrust. And I wanted my little Brett Contreras, what is that called?
The thruster. Yeah. The thruster. Yeah. PC strength thruster. Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted that and I didn't have it. And my God, I could have made excuses, but no, I still got it done. But yeah, that was a roadblock. Sure. Yeah. Sorry to get that off.
No, I'm so down. I'm like, I jokingly call those princess problems. Like, I'm like, they don't have what, like glute lab habs or like whatever, you know, like some machine. Yeah. And I'm like, princess problems. I'm here.
You're totally right. Going back to that is, you have to find a plan and a structure you're going to stick to. If you hate running, don't run. Find a different form of cardio. You can still get the cardio in. You have to enjoy it, right? Mm-hmm. So that's super important. Luckily, I enjoy strength training. So, you know, that helps with prep. But
I mean, you enjoyed prep, I think, overall, too. You kept telling me over and over, I'm enjoying the process. I'm taking yeah, in the, and I'm soaking it. Yeah. I'm soaking in the process. You kept telling me. Like,
absolutely. But you're, again, you gave me some runway. You make your food choices. If you want to do an hour-long walk or you want to do 20 minutes on the stair stepper, if you're going to burn the same amount of calories in each, pick the one that you want to do. And so you gave me that flexibility with structure and boundaries. And that was huge because if somebody was telling me again exactly what to do, when to do it, how to do it, it would probably be pretty miserable. I need to be able to make some decisions for myself throughout that process. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's everybody's journey, but that was the one I wanted and it's the one I got, and it was successful.
What do you feel you learned most about yourself during this whole process? Walking the journey.
I would say, again, it's that I can do the hard things, but I mm-hmm. think the main thing is if there's something that you or I want to do, go out and just fucking do it. Stop making the excuses, right? I think I learned that I need to just start taking action. And I showed myself that when I take action and when I commit to it, amazing things can come out of it. I'm a hard worker and I know I have qualities to be able to do certain things. I think I just, again, we all fall into complacency and comfortability and routine and doubt and all of those things. But I think through this process, it was like, how cool was that? That I had this thing I wanted to do and I just did it, right? I think that that was so eye-opening because it's like, what else can I do? What else do I want to do? I don't have that answer right now. But
I was just about to ask you, so what else do you want to do?
there's things. The seeds are planted. But I just know that I think I just proved to myself that once you commit, it's possible.
So now what does chapter two look like? You've been posting on social. Chapter two. What does chapter two look like for you?
For me personally, chapter two, just in regards to like post prep, that just meant like I am now really wanting to focus on strength training. I want to build muscle. I want to take time with it. I want to dive deeper into exercise science and just learn as much as I can about bodybuilding in general and about my body in general too. I really want to dive more into hormone health and metabolism and really just all the things. So I'm really excited to dive deeper myself, to learn more, to apply it, to get in the gym, to get stronger, to build muscle, to eat good foods, but stay within reason. So that is chapter two for me, is really just finding more balance, but staying on a path of growth personally and physically.
I know you might be thinking about doing another competition in the future. So yes. The itch is there.
Yeah, the itch is super there. Essentially, I just don't want to do as many shows as fast as possible and always be as lean as possible throughout the whole year. That's not the place I want to be. I don't think it's necessarily a healthy place to be. Of course, you have to have an off season and kind of cycle out of it, especially for hormone health and for your metabolism and things like that. I'm not in a rush to do another one. Again, I want to take my time. I want to build muscle. I want to really just stick to a solid program for a while before I commit to another show.
Yeah.
And I have things planned this year. I have some trips and places I want to go and enjoy over summer. And so I'm taking that into consideration. And then I think the fall would be a great time to do it again. So
I like this idea.
I think that's the plan.
And the long-term goal for you, do you want to get your pro card? Are you thinking about what it would look like to get back on stage for a long-term goal?
I think that plays into me not wanting to rush into another show. If I'm going to do another one, I think I want to see improvement in my placing, right? Mm-hmm. So with that being said, if I place better, I'm likely to be nationally qualified. So I think that would be so cool to be able to get to that point. And then I think I'm taking it one step at a time. So the next goal would be to get nationally qualified, but I can't say that my goal is to be the best in the business and make this my entire career, essentially. But I am excited to do it again. I want to see where I can take it, and I don't want to put too much pressure on myself to go all the way, if that makes sense.
I'm wearing the same shoes as you.
Yeah.
Let's go and do another show and let's just see how it feels. Yeah. Am I like, do I want my pro card? I don't know. I don't know if I really want to do five more shows or however many it takes.
Yeah.
Because then you would want to do one that is national qualification, then hopefully an overall win, and then go to nationals and take it from there.
Yeah.
And you might take a couple national shows. And I've already been to nationals and I was like, do I really want to go through this process again? I'm happy and content with where my journey has been so far with competing, but I actually miss that discipline and that routine and that character We're building.
Competitive in nature. And the discipline is, and process was everything for me. So obviously to win is amazing and to have those accomplishments is great, but the process is more important to me than winning this time. And that's still the attitude that I have for the next one. So it's like, I want to do the process right. So I don't want to rush into it this spring, for instance, because I have trips coming up. So yes. With that said, doing the process right and showing up the best I possibly can means waiting a little bit longer. So I think getting a pro card would be great and it would be awesome. And I think that that would be such an accomplishment. But again, one step at a time.
One show is just the beginning. There's so much more growth, physically especially, that can happen. Mentally, I can tell you've learned a lot about yourself as well. Mm-hmm. But these people who are competing in the Olympia, like we were just talking about, some of them competing in bikini, for example, for 5, 10 plus years.
Yeah. Some are decades.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've been doing it a long time. They have built a lot of muscle over a long time, right? There's just so much to it. And there's so much that I still have to learn. And I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important for people to hear too. Be okay with not knowing it all and be vulnerable and be open to feedback and to learning and reaching out for resources. That's what I did with you. And look, ended up committing to a show and doing well in it and learning all the stuff. So it's like, don't be afraid to admit that you don't know it all.
We did everything we possibly could to get you ready for the stage. But I remember you reaching out 5 weeks out, like, am I going to be ready? I don't feel like I'm building enough muscle.
Yeah.
And I go, Allison, you've only been on prep for 9 weeks at that point. I was like, it's only been 9 weeks. Yeah. 9 weeks of actual strength training compared to 9 years, right?
I was probably on Instagram looking at pros thinking, man, why don't I look like that? You know?
It's the comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah, I can only do so much in the time that I have because eventually, you just got to start cutting.
Go back to enjoying the process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And this is the best part of it, is the actual building part.
Yeah. I'm excited for it.
The last two questions I want to wrap up with that I love to ask everyone on this show is the waves in life. And I kind of brought it up a little bit earlier when we were talking about the emotions and how we, you know, go through it all, the tough challenges in life. Mm-hmm. But I love that emotions can also be enjoyed. I love being able to feel in my body and have the happiness and sit with it. Right. So the waves in life, there are things that we can control and can't control. Mm-hmm. How do you handle the emotional waves that you can't control and the ones that you can?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Like Sean with his burger in Old Fashioned.
Yeah. Emotions, you're going to feel them. They're going to come up, whether it's anger, happiness, whatever it is, they are going to arise naturally, but it's how you essentially handle them, translate them, and communicate them. Mm-hmm. So of course, the ones you can't control, that's pretty self-explanatory, right? You just embrace it. The ones that are a little bit more difficult to sit with and deal with, and this kind of goes back to therapy, things that I've learned, and just like being able to recognize that your emotions are temporary. Mm-hmm. They're not going to necessarily dictate what is and what isn't and what's reality. And so you just have to be able to ride that wave for a moment, give yourself a little bit of grace, know what you need to do, step back if you need to step back. If you're upset, take time out, if you need a walk, find what works for you so that you can ride that wave until those emotions pass. So I guess that is a form of learning how to control or just manage and deal with emotions that are going to arise.
Like that wording a lot.
Yeah.
That was good.
Good.
There's so much that we can quote unquote control or things we can't control, but rather than try to feel like we have to control it, because controlling is also a great fear for many people. Mm-hmm. Top two that people fear the most are death and losing control. Like
that
losing control of the
steering. Yes.
Losing control of the steering wheel when you're driving. I just think of that one as like the most immediate analogy that freaks people out so much. Like the rain. That was just something I experienced today. I was like, oh my gosh, right? So you have these moments where it's like, how can I better manage?
Yeah. That's how you respond to the emotions. Because I think the emotions are going to come either way. You can't, in my opinion, I don't think you can necessarily control them. They're just going to arise for whatever reason, your external stimuli, whatever's going on internally, your environment, but it's just how you respond to those emotions that really matters. And it takes practice to be able to respond to them well with control. Not controlling the emotions, you're controlling your response to the emotions.
Bingo. All right. I just got to ask one last question because it popped in my head. If somebody is looking to step on stage and they want to go and do a show this year, what do you think is the biggest piece of advice that you could give someone?
I'm glad you asked that, because there have been people that have come up to me and they've asked to work with you, and people are so interested in it. And I love that. I think that's so cool, because it was such a rewarding experience for me. And I know it can be for many people, but I think the biggest thing that I would first ask somebody is, why do you want to do it? Mm-hmm. And I think that is huge. And I think you need to understand the why, because that's going to affect your outcome and it's going to affect where you are after the show and your entire experience. Also, maybe kind of like a subtopic is just understanding like where they're currently at, where the relationship is with food and fitness in general. I think that kind of plays into the why. Are they looking just to get as lean as possible and feel like that once they look good, they're going to feel good, right? And they're going to lean on that. Is that why they're doing it? Because they think that that's where their value is how they look. Or are they doing it for reasons like, I really went into this and it was like, I want to prove to myself that I have the discipline to see something through to the end. And I think when you're focused on the process and not the outcome, your whole experience is a lot better. And I would hope that everybody could have a similar experience to that, because it's tough mentally and physically. And so when you're down in the trenches, you want to remember your why. And that would be the first thing I would ask somebody.
I love that. Thank you. Thank you for being on the show, Allison.
Of course. Thank you for everything. My gosh.
Thank you for joining me on another episode as we learned and explored all things movement, mindset, and medicine. As always, my goal for each episode of this podcast is to share innovative tools and techniques to help you thrive and find stability with your overall health and personal development, alongside the growth of the world around us. Please share this with someone you know will benefit from this episode, as well as rate and review. This helps us reach more people and provide feedback as to how we can better help each of you. Make sure to check out our community website, www.mermaidmethod.com, to learn more about our upcoming events, eco-friendly products, and coaching programs. Now let's make massive waves together.